The Fan on Demand.
A very good day. I'm Nigel Reed.
And I'm Bob Urushi.
And this is The Soccer Show on Sportsnet World and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. This week, gaining ground, TFC and the Whitecaps draw first blood in the Canadian Championship. We'll talk to Daniil Henry about his rocket against Montreal. Also this week, picking a winner, the CSA and the CSL are both claiming victory in the ruling over the future of semi-pro soccer. We'll hear from the CSL president, Vincent Ursini. Plus, has Germany overtaken Spain in Europe's pecking order? If so, what could that mean with the World Cup on the horizon? All that and more, plus your opinion, this week right here on The Soccer Show. Engage with us. Have your opinion aired and shared. A warm welcome to another stylish soccer soiree, where nobody bites anybody, everybody plays their strongest team, and nobody gets his team out of jail by diving for a penalty kick. Mm. Cristiano Ronaldo was talking to Lionel Messi this week.
No kidding.
True. I mean, obviously they are peers of the realm when it comes to soccer. Mm-hmm. Ronaldo says to Messi, "See you for the Champions League final, then." Messi says, "Sure. Are we watching it at your house or mine?"
Yeah, that's about it.
Did you see that one coming? Did you see the punchline lumbering over the horizon?
Well, since they don't talk to each other, I kind of figured it had a bit of a spin on it, Nigel.
Likelihood is they will be watching it on TV along with the rest of us, I think. More about that in a little while. Let's talk about knockout soccer of a different kind before we get any further. The Canadian Championship. You and I were down at BMO Field last night. It was wet and windy and cold again. Is spring ever going to, well, spring? Perhaps it will. And we watched Toronto FC beat their Montreal counterparts by 2-0 in the first leg of the semifinals. For anybody who's not sure about this, it's a four-cornered conversation, at least for the time being, which also involves the Vancouver Whitecaps and FC Edmonton. Later, we'll talk to Daniil Henry, who scored a terrific goal for Toronto FC. A little disappointing that neither team put out their strongest lineups, but it's a long season. And I suppose from Ryan Nelson's point of view, he's the head coach, and if you're the head coach, you're in the results business, and the result, ultimately, is all that matters.
It did. Yeah, well, you know, to be honest, TFC left Earnshaw and OD and Silva, who eventually came in. So they left basically two starters on the bench. Montreal failed to have Ferrari, Nesta, Di Vaio, Arnaud, and Felipe play. And in my opinion, it looked like, or it seems like, the impact don't care more about this game than TFC.
Oh, so we're talking about two teams in which one cares less about it?
Sure seems that way.
Okay. Ferrari's injured, by the way. Okay. But I would go with you on the others, and you left out Perkins, the goalkeeper.
Oh, and Perkins, the goalie. So yeah. There you go. There's six.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? This is a prestigious event, and these are professionals.
Yeah.
They play on a professional team. The whole world participates. So the strong professional leagues in the world participate in both league championship and cup competitions, along with this Champions League or UEFA soccer. There's no reason why professional soccer players should be fit enough. There's no reason why they're not fit enough to play two games a week. And this is not that big a strain on either teams this early in the season. I think it's disgraceful that they don't play full teams. They charge the same ticket prices because this game was in the TFC season ticket package. And, if they're playing these games lightly, they should be ashamed of themselves. I know that in the Toronto Star, there was a pretty cynical article about TFC probably shouldn't even play this competition seriously, since their goal should be to finally make the playoffs. And in the past three or four. I mean, so they're four-time champions, aren't they?
Four times.
So four times they've represented Canada in this competition, and his theory is that it gets in the way of them performing in the league. Well, quite frankly, if they improve their roster, they'll be able to participate in both league and Champions League at a high level. And so once again, I think that's bunk.
Well, part of this is that this is a young competition. This is a young league. These are generally, by and large, young teams. But let's consider where this leads to. You and I were both at the Rogers Centre in February or March, whenever it was, 2012, along with 47,000 others, to watch Toronto FC play Los Angeles Galaxy in the CONCACAF Champions League. How did TFC get there? They got there by winning the Canadian Championship. I was in Montreal in 2009 in the Big O. There was 55,000 there. I couldn't hear myself think.
Absolutely.
On that famous night when the Impact beat Santos Laguna, who were in the final again, by the way, mm-hmm. by 2-0. How did they get there? How did they create that soccer occasion and have 55,000 in the Big O? By winning the Canadian Championship.
Well, and it also measures MLS. You know, and over the 6.5 years that you and I have done this show, I've always moaned about the quality of this league. Yes, it has improved, but I think it's incumbent on the MLS to grow every year to get as many quality players here as possible. And one of the goals of MLS would be to finally conquer a Mexican team in this competition. And every team that is involved in the Champions League needs to take it seriously. In all defense for Nelson, I think that he would probably, if he was here to defend himself, he'd probably say, I'm trying to create a roster where I can trust any player to play at any time.
And that's what he said after the game.
That's what he said.
I've now got 22 players I can trust.
And I didn't hear that interview, by the way. So that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. And he would be here to say, if Montreal wants to leave six of their best players off, that's their problem. But I'm here to win the game. And he did. He won 2-0. We were there and they were the better team. So we had somebody who emailed you earlier complaining.
Well,
that,
we did. I'll get to that.
Yeah, the complaining right. that he felt that he should be playing his best team at all times.
Well, everybody should. That was the point. I'll get to that in a moment. But in terms of the Canadian Championship per se, in the other game, Vancouver more or less put out a full-strength team against the perceived underdog.
Right.
And almost slipped on the banana skin. More about that in a moment. But we're talking about the Canadian Championship and the fact that if the teams don't take it seriously, then likelihood is the fans won't take it seriously and the media won't take it seriously. And then the perception of the Canadian Championship is not what it should be. Now, I remember back in the day, in the 60s and 70s and 80s, back in Britain, the FA Cup, the domestic cup competition, was the showpiece finale to the season. Mm-hmm. And everybody wanted to win it. Everybody put their best teams out. And to get to the FA Cup final and play at Wembley was what these players existed for. It was a big, big occasion. It's still a big occasion. But you know what? Then the Premier League came along, and then the Champions League came along, mm-hmm. and now we're the FA, and now the big teams play their fringe players in the FA Cup. And that's where it now is on the pecking order. And it's terribly sad to see, because the FA Cup is the world's oldest competition. The Canadian Championship is one of the world's youngest competitions, and perhaps the smallest knockout competition. And maybe in 10, 15, 20, 40 years' time, we'll say, look at those small beginnings and look where the Canadian Championship is now. But it does need, in my opinion, the cooperation of the clubs to put out their strongest teams.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly. And I'd be interested to see the type of lineup that Montreal has in the return match. But but they've already basically showed their hand in terms of their intent in this competition. So not very good.
Well, Joey Saputo, always honest, the Montreal owner said, quote unquote, we gambled and lost. In other words, we gambled on putting out a second string team and we lost. He also then went on to say, it ain't over yet. And you know what?
Yeah.
It might not be. The next goal in this tie in Montreal next week is absolutely pivotal. If TFC gets it, it's probably dead and buried. If Montreal gets it, then game on.
Yeah, remember that TFC had to score 6 goals 1 year to knock Vancouver out. So it is possible.
I wondered whether we'd get through the show without mentioning the miracle in Montreal.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the other semi-final, Whitecaps came from behind to beat FC Edmonton 3-2. After trailing by 2-1, as you would expect, and now they've got the home leg to come, and presumably they will finish the job. But credit to FC Edmonton and Colin Miller, because they gave the Whitecaps a real scare, and the big talking point that came out of that, sadly again, focuses on a referee's decision. Camilo's penalty, late in the game, with the Whitecaps trailing by 2-1, highly contentious, highly dubious, looked like a dive to just about everybody I've spoken to. The referee only gets one look at it, points to the penalty spot, the game changes.
Well, you know, we've been seeing a lot of that. The Champions League games, especially the first one where 2 goals from Bayern Munich were absolutely, you know, bad decisions on behalf of the referee and his linesman. The second goal by Gomez offside. The third goal by Robin, which was a clear pick on behalf of Mueller, missed by the referee. These are important moments in these games. You can't miss those calls. And, you know, having seen the replay on the Edmonton game, that just can't happen. And it does spoil it for the Edmonton team, and because this is their big moment of the year.
Of course.
For Edmonton, this is the biggest game of the season. And I'm sure Colin Miller was just devastated over it. He was thrown out of the game, wasn't he?
He certainly got himself into some hot water along the way, shall we say. Shouldn't happen. Does happen. We don't like to take referees. I certainly don't like to take referees to task on this, whether it's round the corner or in Europe. But we've seen some questionable decisions made, certainly so far this week. Later in the show, we're going to talk to Vincent Ursini. He's the president of the Canadian Soccer League. A couple of nights ago, the judgment came down, so to speak. And what essentially has come out of it is that the future of semi-pro soccer in this region remains uncertain. The CSL, as is going to now carry on for 2013. But the CSA is also claiming victory in this judgment, saying, well, it's just a stay of execution, and we acted in haste, but we will de-sanction the CSL at the end of the current season. CSA, by the way, put out a statement, declined any interview requests, but the CSL are happy to talk about it. I mean, it's a mess. It's a muddle, I think.
Well, you know, this the poor CSL, I mean, I know that the Vincent Ursini and his teams are trying to continue to create their best interpretation of senior soccer possible. But, you know, they really haven't endeared themselves to their communities. They still have the ethnic ties to a lot of the teams. With all respect to those ethnic groups, of course, I'm so proud of having played with the Toronto Metros Croatia when I did. And if it wasn't for these ethnic groups, Toronto Italia, First Portuguese, Serbian White Eagles, the Panhellenic, the Greeks, you know, the history of soccer in this city would have been, you know, obviously very different than what it has been. But, I mean, coming into this, to the 2013, going forward, trying to create developmental leagues, I think the CSA basically has made a decision that says, guys, you aren't the league for us going forward.
You don't fit the profile.
You don't fit the profile.
We'll get onto this in much more detail later in the show. Engage with us. Email me, nigel@fan590.com, or tweet me @nigel_reed. You're watching The Soccer Show on Sportsnet World and listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It is The Soccer Show with Reed Nirushi. And we value your opinion every week. We read them all religiously and diligently. So if you want to email me, then I'm looking forward to hearing from you. The email address is nigel@fan590.com, or you can tweet me @nigel_reed. In seconds, we'll talk to Daniil Henry. What a great goal he scored against the Montreal Impact in the Canadian Championship. And he, of course, is a Canadian. I wonder if he was watching what we were watching on Tuesday and Wednesday. Because players do, you know.
Well, they should.
Oh, they should be. They should be watching
this. They should be watching those games.
Okay, sure. So quick thought on this. Germany over Spain in the Champions League semi-finals. Germany outscores Spain 8-1, by my reckoning, in the first legs. Lewandowski, hat-trick. Bayern, just too strong physically and mentally, are some thoughts I had. And Messi, whatever he says about his leg, clearly was not, in my opinion, 100% fit.
Well, not at all. And mentally, he wasn't in the game. That's a big blow to Barcelona. Both German teams, high-powered soccer, going forward, defending. Bayern Munich, especially, with the Ribery, Gomez, Müller, Martinez, Steinschweiger, all coming back, you know, defending. And then going forward in numbers, it's an amazing performance from Bayern. And then Borussia with the four goals from Lewandowski, just fabulous, fabulous football on behalf of the Germans. And I think that Real Madrid has the only chance, because if they win 3-0, then they can go through. And that's definitely a chance, because Borussia have played some stinkers away from home. And it is a possibility, but I wouldn't be betting a lot of money on it. It looks like both German teams to Wembley.
Here's the stat to end all stats.
Okay.
How many times has Real Madrid won on German soil in 24 attempts in European competition?
I don't know, Nigel.
Have a wild guess.
How about none?
Very close. Very close.
Oh, no. Igor says one.
It's one is the right answer. So, I mean, any surprise, really, that they got stuffed by Dortmund? And Lewandowski right. just had a career game, yeah. Didn't he?
He did. He was amazing. Yeah. Scored his second goal, really, where it looked like he was offside, but the way he turned and took the ball and then quickly made a decision to hit it nicely on the outside of his foot. Just some quality finishing from a real superstar. He's going to be someone that we'll all be watching to see what team he's going to be playing with next year, because his value has now risen sky high.
Skyrocketed.
Yeah.
There'll be a queue around the stadium from agents and clubs wanting to sign him up.
I wonder how many of those players will be left with Borussia next year.
We wait to see.
Yeah.
Götze is going, isn't he?
Götze is going to Munich.
Oh, well. Well, talking about astonishing finishing and great finishing, let's bring it a little closer to home. 2-0 to TFC over Montreal Impact in the Canadian Championship. An unlikely source for the first goal, it has to be said, but a terrific finish from Daniil Henry. That's a striker's finish from that distance.
Well, I mean, it was a fabulous goal from Daniil. He went up to try and get his head on to something.
Corner, yeah.
And then he just happened to hang around at the right time. The ball bounced back to him, and then he unleashed that wonderful shot. I mean, Daniil will tell you that over time he'll score more goals like that. But, you know, playing center back, you rarely get those chances. And when you do score, they're really sweet.
Yeah.
And he had a smile from ear to ear as he went by the bench giving high fives to everybody.
If you don't buy a ticket, you can't win the lottery. Here's Daniil Henry. Welcome back to the Soccer Show, my friend.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Very well. Congratulations on a great strike. I want to know what was going through your mind, because the as Bob was saying, you were up for the corner. It wasn't quite cleared, and there you were on the edge of the area. It came to you. Take us on from there.
Well, usually I would run back into my position to stop a quick counterattack, but I don't know. I just hanged out, didn't quit on the play, and there was the ball right at my feet, so I said, hey, why not? Took a strike.
First time, no second thought. You just put your laces through it.
That's exactly what happened.
And well, there you go. You see, and as you caught it, and you caught it perfectly, you must have thought, oh, this is going in. This isn't going into the stands.
Yeah.
You must have just had a thought, no?
Yeah. As soon as I hit it perfectly, and I just saw it, and I just knew it was going in. So it was a great moment for me and my team. And I don't know when I saw it. I saw when I got home, I was like, wow, what a great goal.
It was a great. You're going to tell us. You're going to tell me. And Bob, as you know, was a central defender, right? And he had chances from time to time. You're going to tell us that you do this all the time in training, right? And
No, I wouldn't like to. A couple of times in those small-sided games, you get a few tries. Sometimes they go really well. Sometimes they go terribly wrong. But to hit it in the game and it to go so perfectly, it's pretty funny.
You know, Daniil, as great as the goal was, your play last night was also very, very strong in terms of keeping Montreal off the score sheet. And a lot of players who played yesterday are looking to play a lot more with TFC and to give Coach Nelson a lot to think about, because a healthy team is one where there's, you know, a lot of players who can play at any time. And of course, speaking on your behalf, you want to play as often as possible. So it's important for every time that you're on the field and you get a chance that you show the coach what you can do.
Yeah, it's been a really tough campaign so far for this 2013 season, especially getting injured after qualifying and not performing my best. But I've definitely gained confidence over the last few, and my coaches have really picked me up. I've been doing really well in training, and you know what? They keep me focused. They keep me going every day, and I just want to thank them for sure. And the boys at training, especially the GTA and the GTA young boys, they've done really well, and they're right on beat right now. So getting those 90 minutes and guys putting their shifts on, they really opened the eye to the coaches, I guess. But they know what we're capable of doing, and we definitely showed that we're here whenever they call upon us.
Well, not only that, it's your objective to prove to Coach Nelson that, you know, he shouldn't take you out of the lineup, period, because that's your objective. With all respect to your teammates, and I hate to put it that way, but, you know, you have to look after number one.
Myself? Yeah, definitely understand that, but I'm going to try and keep in the lineup. But at the end of the day, I'm going with my coach's decision, and I'm pretty sure he won't put me in no tough situations. I know when the time is right. Eventually, I can make that jump to the starting spot. But right now, there's a lot of great pros in front of me that I take a lot out of every practice. And Danny, Caleb, he's a great leader, a longtime vet in the league and overseas. But Darren, especially too, mentoring me and taking me and telling me the ropes for being Galley. It's been a great learning process.
As Bob says, for you, I mean, last night and perhaps next Wednesday. And who knows when the next, you know, league chance will come along. I mean, you have to, in some respects, do two things. You have to do the job that you're selected to do by the coach on the night, which you did last night. But you also have to be aware that this is the shop window for you, as Bob alluded to. This is the shop window to say, you know what, I actually do belong in that starting lineup. And Bob's right. You know, number one is where you want to be as that central defender.
Yeah, well, definitely. Every time you go on the pitch, the only time you're going to prove yourself to get minutes is when you play the game that count. And I thought I did a great job last night, but I'm not going to settle for just playing great. I just want to be consistent now. So getting my minutes when they come, I just need to make sure that I do the stuff that I can do right and defend first.
Here's the other thing, Daniil, that seasoned observers, if you like, have said about last night's game, that it was kind of, well, kind of TFC reserves against Montreal's B team. And that's a little harsh, I'm sure, in some respects. But it does, I think, bear making the point that there were a whole lot of Canadians on one team and a whole lot of Canadians on the other team. And this is the Canadian Championship. And so often on this show, over the years, we've spoken about the fact that Canadians don't often get a chance to shine.
Right. We had five Canadians in the lineup. Yep. And Montreal playing the B team, it doesn't matter to me. When we took full advantage of whatever they want to put out on their team, but we won the first leg and we're going to Montreal to hopefully take the second too, and continue in the tournament. Right now we're going to be ruthless. All we want to do is win. So coach knows that we put out a completely different team too, and he has the trust that we can get the job done. So we're ready for whatever. We just want to win.
How would it feel like to mark Thierry Henry on Saturday?
I was getting to that myself.
Were you? Have you thought about it? Be honest. Have you thought about it?
Definitely. It's not the first time I thought about it.
Yeah.
He's such a clutch player, and you know what? You just want to see how you match up against him and see where you are. And because smart player, long time in the game, playing at the top flight. So definitely.
Yeah, and I suppose we shouldn't also underestimate the fact that, you know, a win's a win, doesn't matter what the competition is. And, you know, 3 days from now or 2 days from now, then you're, you know, back in league action as a team. And any player I've ever spoken to tells you that a win breeds confidence through the camp. So maybe this, can be pushed on to the weekend when New York come.
Exactly. We've been excellent at home. We just need to see out games and finish them strong. But no, definitely there's a lot of positive things going on within the group, and we just want to keep striving and keep feeding off of it. So, like I said, it doesn't matter who we play. It doesn't matter if it's a reserve game. It doesn't matter if it's a game that means if it's training games. We always want to win, and we want to continue to feed off of that.
And that's the spirit, is it not, Bobby?
It is. And speaking of spirit, I mean, you've been speaking or intimating that this year it feels a lot better. The team is coming together. There's some great camaraderie. There's mentorship. It feels like Coach Nelson has really made his mark there.
Yeah, definitely. Since preseason, all the guys that have came in so far have put in a lot, especially into the way we want to play. And everyone comes into training 100% wanting to play, wanting to fight. And the competitive level of play that we're doing right now, it's been amazing. So just credit to the boys who come in every day and put their best in. And that's only going to make the group stronger.
Well, that's all you can do. It strikes me before we let you go that not only there was that your goal last night, but Jeremy Hall scored a rocket as well at the week. So what's going on the practice field? Are you all sort of shooting on site up at Downsview, sharpening those skills?
Yeah, well, I know that everybody, we do a lot of extra stuff, shooting from distance, defending, set pieces, everything. We're taking all aspects into the game, and we're trying to work on it to better ourselves. So it's not like we're only focusing on one side of the game. We're going to hit it from every aspect of the game, especially the things that we struggle on, and keep working hard.
Well, congratulations on that goal. We wish you well in the second leg, and we will assume, Daniil, that you will keep coming up for corners and set pieces because you're a nuisance in a good way.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for talking to us. That's Daniil Henry from Toronto FC. And that's the value, isn't it? And yes. In and around those set pieces, and so often when that happens, if you're defending that and you've got your opposite centre back coming up on a set piece, and try countless times Daniil Henry tends to get there first when it's on headers, not necessarily with shots like last night. But there's that nuisance factor inside the penalty area. There's lots of arms and legs. It's a problem to defend.
Well, it is. I want to speak very quickly on the development, because this is how you develop young Canadians like Daniil. He is in an environment with professionals, professional coach, professional organization. Every day he's training. Every day he's getting mentored. That's how you learn. You learn by watching those who have done it for a longer time in more competitive situations, and that's how you learn. That's basically developing soccer for me, soccer players.
If you agree with Bobby Arushi, please email the show, nigel@fan590.com, or tweet me @nigel_reed. You're watching The Soccer Show on Sportsnet World and listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca.
We always suggest that you engage with us by email or Twitter. Duncan from Brantford, Ontario. There's a famous town, Brantford, Ontario. Famous for?
CSL franchise.
Well, and?
And Wayne Gretzky.
Ah, there you go. Even I know that.
Yes.
Duncan writes, TFC versus Montreal, being one of the few that has attended every TFC home match since 2007, which prompts me to tell you, Duncan, that you're probably a glutton for punishment. Being one of the few that has attended every home TFC match since 2007, the game in the Canadian Championship against Montreal was one of, if not, the poorest efforts by the Reds. Nelson's playing his bench player shows TFC has little interest in this tournament, and that's too bad, as it's likely the only thing TFC has a realistic chance of winning this year. What was Nelson thinking in playing his bench players? Earnshaw should have played. I would have thought another goal would have set us up nicely in Montreal. Now we're hoping for a result of at least a draw or a 1-0 loss to see TFC advance. Well, you see, we've spoken about it. Is it important that younger players get a chance in front of a real crowd, in a real competition that means something? And bear in mind, the winners of the Canadian Championship qualify for the CONCACAF Champions League, and that's how you get 47,000 at the Rogers Centre. This is where it all stems from. Or do you say we're putting out our first team, and we're going for it, and we're treating this competition seriously. There are no wrong opinions. In soccer, only your individual ones.
You've got to play everybody. You've got 22, 24 players. Nelson has to feel this comfort zone amongst everybody. There are moments during the season where you have a chance to put in, you know, players who don't normally play. Okay. And this was an opportunity. And to be honest, in the end, results speak. 2-0 victory. First time that TFC have shut out the opposition. So I think there's a lot of positives that came out of Wednesday's game. Even though Duncan does make a good point, and we spoke about it in the first segment.
We most certainly did. Now then, here's an interesting dichotomy. I'm not sure if that's the right word. In front of me, I have two press releases. One from the Canadian Soccer Association and one from the Canadian Soccer League. If you've been following this story for some months, you'll know what this is about. Did you know, by the way, there is a Sport Dispute Resolution Centre of Canada? Are you aware of this?
I had no idea.
No, I don't think anybody did, but we all do now.
And they're headed by a justice.
Justice Hugh Fraser.
Yes.
This is important stuff.
Unbelievable.
And essentially what has happened is that back in February, the CSA said to the CSL, we're taking away our sanctioning. We're not going to support you anymore. And you might think, well, that doesn't mean very much. Well, actually it does, because you have to think about things like match officials and referees. The CSL threw their hands up in horror and said, you can't do this. It's February. We're kicking off in a couple of months. What are we supposed to do? CSA said, not our problem. So the CSL went to FIFA, and then they went to CONCACAF, and FIFA and CONCACAF said to them, not our problem.
They said this is a domestic
dispute. You
right.
Sort it out.
You sort it out.
And so the CSL sought refuge from the Sports Dispute Resolution Centre of Canada. This is important.
Amazing.
I'm not joking here. A couple of days ago, the SDRCC said CSA were a little hasty in de-sanctioning you, a bit too hasty, and so we're not going to have this happen. They still have the right to de-sanction you, said the justice, but not right now. And so the CSA are saying, right, okay, well, the dispute resolution people are saying, we were right. And we have the right to de-sanction the Canadian Soccer League. Maybe we jumped the gun a little, but we're going to do it anyway at the end of the season. It's all a mess, and it shouldn't be happening in Canadian soccer. The CSA went on to say, by the way, in their statement, no additional media interviews will be granted on this topic. So we didn't reach out to them. We took our medicine. But we did reach out to the CSL, whose president is Vincent Orsini. And he joins us on the Soccer Show. Welcome.
And he used to be a board member of the CSA as well.
Is that right?
He was, yeah.
Vincent, welcome to the Soccer Show.
Thank you. Good evening. Hello, gentlemen.
Did we get that about right?
Yes.
Somewhat.
Yes, no.
It seems to me that we spoke a little earlier in the day before the show that kind of both sides are claiming victory here. So, in a sentence or two, Vincent, what does this decision mean as far as the CSL is concerned?
First of all, I just want to say that you're absolutely right about both sides claim victory because, we got exactly what we wanted, and the decision, you know, basically was what we wanted. But when I read the CSA press release, mm-hmm. I thought it was really good wordsmithing. I thought, wow, it looks like they won the case. So this is what we wanted. I mean, we are always in favor of building a semi-pro league across the country, working together. And I've always said many, many years, when I was on the CSA executive and before, that the CSA has to get involved to try to push pro soccer. The only thing is that no one's ever spoken to us. All these plans are made. And, in fact, you know, they quote the Eastern Report. Well, the specific things in the Eastern Report talk about corroborating with the leagues, existing leagues across the country, not just the CSL, mm-hmm. the Quebec Provincial League and senior amateur leagues.
As I understand, as I understand it, Vincent, what the CSA is saying is essentially the CSL doesn't fit the profile. We're going with the Eastern Report, and that's kind of going to replace the CSL. Is that the way you understand it?
Well, that's what they try to say, but the CSL is the implementation of the Eastern Report. It's just a matter of spreading it across the country. And like I said, we want to cooperate. Uh-huh. The only thing is that how that decision means that you kill the only semi-pro league, at this stature, the level league in the country, is ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous.
So do you see this as a positive for the Canadian Soccer League, or as we discussed earlier in the day, and certainly as the CSA sees it, merely as a stay of execution for 12 months?
Well, and I'm glad you worded it that way. This is exactly what we wanted. But the instructions that we were given at the last moment that we were not going to be sanctioned for 2013, we're not going to be sanctioned effective immediately. The whole purpose was, okay, we're going to organize, Ontario Soccer Association. Well, the thing is that it takes time to transition. There's got to be a lot of rules. There's a lot of decisions that have to be made. They're looking at, I can't understand why they would want to lower our standards, in order to, when you're already at a higher level. And, we never got the opportunity to do that. So this stay, when they say a stay of execution, it's not a stay of execution. The year was granted so that we can follow what should be due process with everyone who's interested in pushing forward the semi-professional league across the country and seeing how we're going to transition. So if the intention was to work with the CSL and all respective groups and in rolling out the report, this would be a normal process, and we're very, very happy and want to be involved in that and want to be part of that. But this is exactly the stay of execution. You hit it on the nail. Is that their actions show that they have no intention. I mean, there's been a conspiracy for the last couple of years since I came back to kill the league for the benefit of the large provinces being Quebec and Ontario. Quebec got their league started, and Ontario is trying to get semi-professional league started. So, I mean, this is all a masquerade. The intent is they want to kill the league that's been around for 87 years.
Well, I think, and you need to dialogue with Victor, obviously, so that he can tell you straight whether he wants to work with the CSL as being part of this new Jimmieson report, or he actually does believe what you've intimated, that, you guys have, unstable franchises, you're still ethnically based, you had a lot of bad publicity in 2012, And maybe it's time that you help us with this new league that we're going to be creating. I don't know. It just feels that way, Vince, to me.
Okay, so let's talk about unstable franchises. The three major teams, Vancouver, Montreal, and Toronto Lynx at the time, all failed. Okay, those were our top level teams, and those within the last 15 years had one failure. Okay, all of them. And we have the fact that we have teams, there's some teams that exit, but we've had some stability. We've got 8 or 9 teams that have been around for many years. Mm-hmm. So the stability issue is of no consequence. Besides, the fact is that at this level of soccer, throughout the world at every level, but the fact is that the teams lose money. Owners have to invest every year. And thank God that people are passionate enough, because if you're a straight businessman, you'd never want to burn money year after year. And they're strictly doing it for the love of the game. And for the last 87 years, there's been enough individuals or corporations that have been doing that. Thank God in the last year and a half, we're actually starting to get some major individual companies that are well-heeled financially to get involved in the league. And we're looking, we understand that there's some franchises that are weaker financially, and we proposed 2 years ago that, we wanted to split up into two divisions, because there's no use with some teams that are struggling and holding all the other teams back, no different than what happened in the USL when they split up into two divisions. It happens even with MLS. There's franchises, that have and have not. and the have-nots, unfortunately, hold back the league sometimes.
Well, the league, as far as that's concerned, as far as we're aware, obviously sort of shares the money around. We've only got 30 seconds, Vince. Unfortunately,
yes, okay.
we're horribly out of time.
Sorry, if I can say about the away. Match fixing, there's another thing. As soon as that event happened,
yep.
I mean, the league is a victim like every other league in the world. But we were given strict instructions to do absolutely nothing until CSA and FIFA got back to us. And that's it. Our hands were tied. We're taking proactive action. We were participants in the Interpol and FIFA conference. The only thing you can do about match fixing is education and prevention. And hopefully cause a deterrent.
And let's hope
and
that's
by implementing rules.
And let's hope those lessons have been learned. Vincent, I'm terribly sorry to have
thank
to cut
you.
This
no,
short.
Thank you very much, Nigel.
Good luck, Vic.
There
thank
we
you,
are.
Bobby.
Vincent Ursini, the president of the Canadian Soccer League, which will continue in 2013. Thereafter,
who knows?
Future unknown. I want to say thanks to Vincent Ursini and to Daniil Henry. To our team, Brian, Igor and Jennifer. He's Bobby Arushi, and I'm Nigel Reed. Essentially, so you don't have to be. Until next time, thanks for listening.